We're very glad to see you all this evening, and we're going to start off the meeting by singing number 790. 790, there's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, and our grateful offerings at the cross we lay. Send the light. Perhaps we'll stand to sing 790.
There's a call comes
ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let it spread and light the world forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And bring at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let it radiate like the world for of Jesus unto all above. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let it radiate like the world forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for our crown of love. Send the light. Send the light, send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light and let its radiant beams light the world forevermore.
Shall we open the meeting in prayer? Our Father, we just thank Thee again that we can come this evening, and we think of these challenging words to send the light and a challenge for us to reach out with the gospel. We thank Thee especially that the light has come into this world. We thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came as the light of the world. And we thank Thee for that light that has shined in the darkness. But we thank Thee that not only was He the light, but we thank Thee that He was the one who came to be the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. We thank Thee for all that He has accomplished for us as He bore on Himself the punishment that we ourselves deserve for all our sin and wickedness. And we thank Thee for how Thou hast delivered us from the power of sin and the power of Satan and brought us into the Son of Thy love. And we just thank Thee for the gospel that is going forth throughout the world. And we thank Thee especially for the work that is going on in Brazil. We thank Thee for our dear brother, Billy Watterson, and his wife, Ellen, who have come to us this evening, and we thank you for the work that they have been involved in the central part of Brazil. And we just pray for thy help as he would give us a report of what thou art doing in this area as well. And we just thank thee for how thou art working and gathering a people for thy name. And we thank thee for many who have gone forth to proclaim the gospel in so many places. And we thank thee for how it has spread right across the world. And we just pray that thou wouldst continue to bless, let us know all the various needs and difficulties. And as we look at the world today, we see how man has turned away from thee so much, and the increase in violence and wickedness and evil. But we thank thee for how thy spirit is still working. Thank thee for how we can be encouraged of hearing of those who have come to trust thee, and how thou hast delivered men and women from sin. And so we just pray that thou wouldst continue to bless them. So we just thank thee for our time together, and we pray it might be a blessing and a challenge to us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now we're very glad to see each of you this evening at the meeting, and others who are joining us online as well. And thank you for coming, and pray that the Lord might bless our time. Very glad to have our brother Billy Watterson with us this evening, serving the Lord in Brazil, and glad to have him, make him very welcome, and his wife Ellen as well. And just to remind you of meetings in the Lord's Day, the breaking of bread at 11, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3, the prayer meeting at 6:30, and the gospel meeting at 7. And this coming Sunday, we expect to have Marcus Jess from Windsor to be with us, and so we make you very welcome to that. So we'll just hand over to our brother Billy Watterson, and that the Lord might help us. He would tell us of the work that the Lord is doing and in which he is involved.
Very glad to be here, and thanks to all who have come tonight. I'd like to read in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians as a means of introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning to read verse number 1. Second Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Drawing your attention to the expression at the beginning of verse number 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. When we think of some local churches in a certain part of Brazil, we like to think of them as we have read here in 2 Corinthians, epistles or letters of commendation of Christ. The New Testament uses many different figures and comparisons to illustrate what an assembly is, what it represents to God, and what it should be in practical terms. At least 10 or 11 different figures, and one of these is the one we read about today. The assembly in Corinth, the church in Corinth, was an epistle of Christ. And in the context, that means a letter of commendation of Christ. As Paul would not need a letter of commendation to them, because he was known by them, but as others would need it, because they were not known, Paul said that the assembly in Corinth was at the same time his letter of commendation, which would declare to others what Paul had done in their midst, and they were also declared to be an epistle of Christ. Everywhere where God established an assembly, a local church, a group of believers is supposed to act as a letter of commendation of Christ, to show forth to those who live close to them, neighbors of the gospel hall, neighbors of the believers, those who work and who study with the believers, to show to them what Christianity is all about and what Christ really is. And to many people, the lives of other Christians will be the first introduction, the first link they get to Christ. And many people go through life and live their whole life without ever reading the Bible. And all they know about Christ, they will glean from other Christians. So it is important for us to understand our need to live a life which will proclaim Christ to others, will attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the assembly in Pirasununga today, where we live, there's a young man in his early 30s who 12 years ago knew nothing about the gospel. He was brought up as a Roman Catholic. And he was saved exactly because of these truths I've been telling you about tonight. He worked with a believer in assembly in Lamy, a neighboring town. And he wondered at the different attitude, the different lifestyle of this believer, how he behaved himself differently to his employers, how he spoke differently. And witnessing and watching the life of this believer, this young man began to be interested in the gospel and to want to learn more about why this young man was different. And thus he heard the gospel and was saved. And the story, the situation which he went through repeated itself in his cousin, who had also never heard the gospel before, was also Roman Catholic. He saw a transformation in his cousin's life, how much the gospel had affected his behavior, how much his cousin had changed his behavior. He also heard the gospel and was saved and was baptized also today. And these two examples could be multiplied in every part of the world. Many of you here would have known of someone who had never heard the gospel before and was attracted to gospel meetings by the life of some believer. So it is important always to remember the importance of local assemblies, local churches in this dark, dark age in which we live. We live in dark days. In dark days, the light needs to shine. And local assemblies, local churches are one way in which God declares to sinners the glories and the perfections of Christ. If we understand we are here not only for our own edification, not only to praise the Lord, but also to be a testimony to Him, an epistle which others can read, and live our lives in an honest manner, in a manner which would be glorifying to God, seeking to attract others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that is done by an individual believer or by an assembly that promotes the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, that attracts others to Him, is a work well done. We'll be talking about a region where there are few assemblies, a large region with few assemblies. Yet each one of these assemblies is, as Revelation chapters 1 to 3 tell us, each one of these assemblies is a golden lampstand. They are valuable to God, and they are also an epistle of Christ, testifying to Him in these days of darkness. So here in Newton Breda in Northern Ireland, or in Brazil, we should undertake and try our best to live lives which will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak about a part of Brazil where there are today 9 assemblies, 3 other towns where there's a weekly gospel meeting. But before speaking about the region in which we live, I'll speak of 2 other aspects of the work in which we are involved. First, the literature work. And secondly, one related to that, trying to help and to encourage some isolated assemblies in the central region of Brazil. To try and give you an idea of the size of the region in which we are talking, we'll be talking about tonight, it's a difficult task, especially without a map. But most of you know more or less about the size of Brazil, have an idea at least of how big it is. We'll be dealing today with a region which is less than 2% of the size of the whole country. So in that respect, it's a small region. But again, it's a large region because it is equivalent in size to the whole of the north of Ireland. In this large region, there are only 9 local assemblies. You could get nearly 200 of the assemblies in the same part, the same region here in the north of Ireland. So there are a few believers scattered about. If you were to gather all these believers in one locality, you'd hardly get 150 believers. It's not a strong, not a great number of assemblies, nor a good number of believers. And yet it is an important work which is carried on, and we will dwell a little bit on that in a few moments' time. We'll speak first about the literature work in which we are involved. Most of you will know we have been translating the Ritchie commentaries for a good number of years. We're beginning in the 1990s. A work began by my father and mother. A work today which involves a lot of people. It's not a one-man business. There are believers here in the UK and some in Brazil who translate books for us. And the books have to be corrected. They have to be edited and typeset for printing. We pay printers to print the books, and then they have to be stored. And books require careful storing. And they have to be packaged and posted. So a lot of people give of their time and effort in this literature work. We have today about 50 different titles published, not only the Ritchie commentaries, but other books and booklets also. We have the whole New Testament series of commentaries. It was finished in more or less the interval of 15 years. After we finished the New Testament, we began translating the Old Testament commentaries. And that is still an ongoing work. When we finish, we hope to have the Old Testament divided into 19 volumes. Some volumes deal with more than one book of the Old Testament. Of these 19, 12 have been printed and published. 7 still remain to be done. So there's a lot that has been done, but a lot that still remains to be done. We value your prayers for this work. Not only the Ritchie commentaries, we also have other books translated also. 11 of those, the Glory series from Assembly Testimony. Some smaller books and booklets. And some written for Brazilian believers, mainly dealing with assembly principles. Some small booklets, one dealing with breaking of bread, one with the truth of head covering, and various other assembly truths. And this literature work, this number of titles, has been very useful in Brazil at least 3 different aspects. Firstly, it helps to encourage and to strengthen believers in all parts of Brazil, not only in the region where we work, in other parts also. If you were to visit our region today, you would be 800 miles north from the southernmost state of Brazil, where most of the missionaries from the north of Ireland today live. You would be 1,300 miles south from the state of Bahia, where Crawford Brown today is living. And you'd be 2,000 miles south from the work up in the River Amazon. Now, these large distances, they make personal visitation a lot harder. And books and booklets can travel much quicker, much more effectively than people can travel. So we are able to reach much more localities, many more localities, and be able to encourage the assemblies that exist all over Brazil, with not only the books and booklets, but also a little magazine that is published every 3 or 4 months, a 32-page ministry magazine. And all this literature printed helps to encourage and to strengthen believers throughout Brazil. It also serves to attract to the assemblies believers from a denominational background. We understand the privilege of meeting to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, separate from the systems of men. And some believers don't know that. They were brought up in a different setting. Some have never heard about these truths. And when they hear about it, it is encouraging to see some of them accepting these truths and understanding them and seeking to meet with an assembly. Sometimes there's no place we can guide them to because of the place where they live. We have had some very interesting situations where believers have been attracted to the assembly and have remained. There's a brother who for 15 years has been meeting with us in São Paulo. It's 200 miles south from where we live. a large city with over 12 million inhabitants, a young man who was already saved and had no previous contact with assemblies. He found our literature on our website, and he showed an interest in learning more about what an assembly is, and got in contact with us through email. We were able to direct him to an assembly in that town where he lives, and he remains there to this day and has been very encouraged. We post the booklets, we distribute the books mostly by post. There are a few bookstores in Brazil that sell our books also. And we have a website with information about all the books and the complete text to be read freely of most of the booklets that deal with assembly principles. That has helped some believers throughout Brazil to be guided in the direction of a local assembly. And the third situation, that has also been a means of establishing new assemblies. There are one or two places, and this is more rare occurrence, but it has happened for the glory of the Lord, where a large group of believers have been attracted to the truths of a local assembly, have been led to meet as a local assembly meeting to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one place where we had not been able to visit yet because of distance, where a group of Baptist believers understood that a local assembly should be autonomous, should not have a pastor, and other basic truths which seem very simple to us. And they embraced this teaching, and the pastor was the one who first began to understand these things and to promote them among his congregation. At least half of the congregation accepted his teaching and began to meet as a local assembly should meet. It is a joy to see these truths being promoted and being accepted by many believers in Brazil. So I pray for this literature work, the results of it over the years, very slowly but very surely. We have seen results and we thank the Lord for them. I ask to pray for this literature work. Related to that, there is a problem in Brazil with many assemblies that are separated from other groups by enormous distances. It's hard even to try to understand these distances without traveling, without actually traveling. But there are assemblies which have no contact with any other assembly closer than hundreds of miles to them. One place would be 1,000 miles to the closest assembly. Now, here in the north of Ireland, you can travel half an hour and you could pass by various assemblies. It's very easy to go to a good ministry meeting or a good gospel meeting. It's very easy to have contact with other groups of believers, other assemblies. Go to conference with hundreds of believers. There are believers in Brazil who simply don't have that privilege. I've never had it in their life. And they live very isolated one from another. It's hard to try and describe the pleasure they receive, the pleasure they show when they receive a visit, and the hunger and the thirst they feel for the Word of God, and how important it is for them to be visited. Due to this, the distance that can be done very frequently, unfortunately. Today we could count about 15 different places in Brazil, not in the region where we live, but scattered throughout Brazil, where there are local assemblies that would be very much interested in receiving a visit from someone for a weekend, but who very rarely do. The distances involved are a big obstacle, but when we manage to visit them, they show a very great interest in hearing about the Word of God. The last place I visited before we came over here involved a journey of nearly 24 hours by bus. And I arrived there on Friday after midday. It was a meeting on Friday night, and on Saturday and on Sunday. And in these 3 days, they had 8 different meetings, plus the breaking of bread, meeting time and time again to hear the Word of God, showing great interest in learning more. Some of you will have heard already of another place in Brazil where some believers would stay up literally all night, from after the meeting at night until 6:30 in the morning, reading and discussing the scriptures and asking us questions. When this all-night meeting would end, we would get on the bus to be taken back home and sleep on the bus. But these believers would be going about their daily business. They were really paying a high price, showing a great interest in learning more about the scriptures. And that is a joy to see. The the intimacy shown anymore by the Scriptures. In these situations, literature is very useful. Personal visits are extremely desirable also. But it's simply not possible to visit these places with more frequency than once a year, or not even that sometimes. We need someone to be full-time just in visiting these places. That is not possible, so we ask you to pray for these assemblies. Many of them will go many, many months, maybe even more than a year, without receiving any outside help at all, without having contact with any other groups of believers. And it's very difficult for them in a sense. So we ask you to pray for these scattered assemblies. And thirdly, and what was really the burden in my heart tonight, I'd like to mention something about the region where we live and work today. Region around the state of, around the town of Pirassununga, in the state of São Paulo, in probably the most prosperous part of the country. We have good infrastructure, good roads, every amenity that technology can offer. We have a population that's not very much interested in the gospel, as is probably the case here in the north of Ireland. But we have 9 local testimonies, 9 local assemblies, 9 local churches, 9 epistles of Christ, which are being preserved by His grace, and 3 other times where the gospel is preached on a weekly basis. I want to tell you something about some of these assemblies, some of these towns, hoping that you can pray more intelligently for the work there. Recognize that as in every place where the gospel, where the work of the Lord is being done, there will be encouragements and there will also be disappointments. That is the same in the part where we live. It's a region, as I have said already, more or less the size of the north of Ireland. Towns are scattered apart. A region where 60 years ago there was no assembly, and that moved to that part of Brazil. Assemblies were established during the year, during the years, and they have been preserved up to this moment with much grace from the Lord. The oldest assembly in the region is in the town of Descalvado, where that mom first moved, where Dad is buried today. It's an old assembly composed of many of older believers. Most of the younger believers, most of the first generation believers have passed on to the glory already. It's an assembly that needs your prayers to be preserved for the next generation. There are not very many young believers in that assembly. There's only one young man and his wife. And they suffered the sad loss of 2 younger believers in their midst in recent months. There was a young man who was saved in that town recently. He had moved from another part of Brazil, from the northeast, where there's much poverty. He'd come down to work in Descalvado and heard the gospel, got saved, and was baptized, and was going on quite well. But then his wife decided to go back to her region and went ahead of him back to her hometown. And he thought it best to follow her and to be with her. So he moved away to a part of the country where there's no local assembly, no testimony, no fellowship for him. And it was a sad loss for the assembly in Descalvado. And there was another young man in that assembly who also left the assembly, but to go to the denominational group. It was a very sad blow for them also. So they're now a little group of 15 or 16 believers, most of them well advanced in years, only one young couple. So I pray for Descalvado in that sense, for the continuation of the work there. Close to Descalvado is an assembly called, in a town called Ibaté. It's mainly composed of younger believers, which is more encouraging in this human sense. You know that all our sin comes from the Lord, not from men, but in human terms, it's more encouraging to see younger believers, more potential for future growth. We ask to pray for Ibaté also. A small assembly in the town of Porto Ferreira, which is also close to Descalvado. Porto Ferreira is the youngest assembly in that town of Descalvado, in that region where we live, the youngest of the 9 assemblies. But it's one of the places where the gospel was preached for the longest time. Since 1971, there's always been a weekly gospel meeting in Porto Ferreira, every week since 1971. And only in 2017 was an assembly established in that town. We were so saved there early on. There was never the right conditions to establish an assembly until very recently. And today they have also lost some people due to illness and people moving away. Today they are reduced to 5 believers in fellowship, 2 young couples and 1 elderly believer, one elderly brother. But they have had the joy of hearing of 4 people who desire to be baptized, two young teenagers, the 2 children of one of the young couples who are in the assembly. They profess to be saved some time ago. They have required baptism recently. There's also a younger couple who came from another part of the country. They're not married. They just lived together, but they heard the gospel these past months. They profess to be saved. They are seeking to put their marital life in order. And they also desire to be saved and go on for the Lord. We ask you to pray for Port Fejera and the encouragement they have received in recent months. Port Fejera has an interesting situation with their neighbors, the neighbors of the hall. It might be interesting to tell you of 2 situations that have arisen in relation to the neighbors of the hall in Port Fejera. In Brazil, all our meetings are done with the windows and the doors of the halls wide open because of the heat. And that makes it easy for people outside to hear what is being done inside. For many years in Port Fejera, there was a man who lived straight across the road from the hall. From the pulpit, you could see him in his garage. And every meeting, when the meeting was about to start, he would bring a chair out to his garage and sit down and remain until the meeting was ended, and he would run back into his home again. It wasn't easy to speak to him. He was a very reserved man. But some years ago, just before he passed on to glory, to eternity, we're giving out tracts along that street. And he told us that he had been saved, that he had heard the gospel in all the meetings that had been proclaimed, that he couldn't come to the meetings because his son-in-law was a local Roman Catholic priest, that he was very interested in the gospel, had understood the gospel, had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and was sure of his salvation. Shortly after he passed on, we hope that he really was saved before he died. His neighbor, which also lives across the street from the hall, has also recently been coming to meetings. He began coming to meetings before the pandemic began, before COVID. Showed a good understanding of the Bible. Professed to be saved. And he had a massive nervous breakdown, which put him in hospital for a good number of weeks. And very recently, just in the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's begun coming to meetings again in Port Fejera. And we ask you to pray also for this young man. His name is Edgar. He also shows good understanding of the scripture, a good desire to grow spiritually. We ask you to pray for him also in the town of Porto Ferreira. There's also a good assembly in the town of San Jose de Palmeiras, further on from Porto Ferreira, we bid. So with maybe close to 30 believers in fellowship, very active in the gospel. 2 young men in that assembly are very active in door-to-door work and giving out tracts and visiting people with the gospel. They have also been encouraged recently with the baptism of 2 sisters in that assembly. They also have seen some encouragement, and we ask you to pray for them. But the next assembly close to San Jose de Palmeiras is in Casa Branca. That would be a completely different situation. It would be believers who, an assembly who in past years would be quite strong in terms of members, that has been reduced today to 2 believers, which is the minimum possible to think of acting as an assembly. And by death of some and by abandonment of others, and some internal problems which they faced, are today only 1 couple of believers there, 1 man and his wife. They get help from neighboring assemblies when possible, but it is very sad and very hard to think of the situation which they are involved in. The gospel is preached there every Wednesday evening and every Lord's Day. Some people show an interest. Some people come to the meetings, but it's a very difficult situation in the town of Casablanca. But there is an even worse situation in the neighboring town of Aguaí. I mention this for your prayerful interest to try and help the believers in Aguaí as they seek to maintain a testimony for the Lord. Aguaí has an interesting and a sad story. The interesting part was to see how the Lord began working there in Aguaí and how he planted an assembly there. This began after the year 2000. Aguaí is in the eastern fringe of our region. The gospel had never been preached there before the year 2000. And we began giving out tracts and going toward the door to door to see if there's any interest in the town. Lord opened the doors of one home in that town where a woman and her family were willing to receive the gospel in their home. The woman was saved very, very soon after we began having contact with her. And she began praying for the salvation of her family. She has 4 girls and 2 boys. Well, men and women, they were all adults right when we met them. She began praying daily for the salvation of her children. And she had the joy of seeing most of them saved except one young man who died because of drink problems. She prayed daily for their salvation, was very fervent in her prayers for their salvation. Once she understood what a local assembly is, she also began praying every day for the establishment of a local assembly in Hawaii. It was her desire to see a local assembly established there. She took part with the assembly in Pirasununga, which is 20 miles away. It was her desire to see a local assembly established in her own hometown. And she showed a very firm progress in spiritual matters. It was a joy to see her grow spiritually, to see her interest in the salvation of her family and the local assembly. Local assembly was established in the year 2015. Sadly, this dear sister passed on just a week before that happened. She had the joy of seeing the preparations for that beginning. And the first breaking of bread they had there was in March of 2015. It was a good little group of believers in that town at that time. Maybe 15 believers in fellowship. Two young families that come from other parts of Brazil. These two young families were a good help to the assembly. 2 young men who were very capable preachers and very helpful in the work there. But then just before the pandemic began, one of them moved away to another part of Brazil in a very sudden manner. And shortly after, the other brother fell into sin, or at least his sin was discovered shortly afterwards. Sin of a very heinous manner, moral sin. And that was a very, very big problem in the town in relation to the testimony of the assembly. And for the faith of the young believers there, most of them were first generation believers, no background in the assembly or in the gospel. And it was a tremendous shock and disappointment to them to see someone who had taught them so much and had been an example to them to see him falling into sin. This brother and his family moved away to another part of Brazil, left behind him a very, very sad situation. And today, if you go to a meeting in Hawaii on a Friday night, you'll probably only see 4 people present from Hawaii. There's a couple who have remained faithful all this time. There's another brother and his mother. And these 4 are the only 4 who have remained whom you could depend upon in the meetings. There are other believers who come and go, but they are still trying to deal with the situation which they have found themselves. We really pity the situation, the things they went through at that early age in their salvation. So I pray for Hawaii, for the preservation of what was done in the past, and possibly for future restoration. There has been some encouragement in Hawaii in the last month before we came over here, in relation to a large family who had heard the gospel many years ago. If you go back 10 years, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, it was a large family, mother and father, with 6 daughters and 1 son, who showed an interest in the gospel. They lived outside the town, very, very poor circumstances. Most of them were illiterate and very limited condition, but they were willing to hear the gospel, show the good interest in the gospel. Until there was a problem also in that family with the father being put in prison. Again, because of a moral problem. This father died in prison. And for some years we lost contact with his family. And we sometimes visit them occasionally, but had little frequent contact with him. Just 3 weeks before we came over here on a Friday night, 3 of the sisters, the daughters of that elderly couple appeared at the meeting in Hawaii. And since that time, there's always been at least one of the family present at every meeting. There have been two meetings held in their home. They show an interest in learning more about the gospel. They are not saved. They remember what they heard 10 years ago, but they still need to be saved. They have shown an interest. They have been drawn back to assembly by the grace of God. So I ask you to pray for this large family of Snagwai and for the little group of believers that remain there. There's also an assembly in a town called Lamy, a fairly large assembly by our standards, with about 30 believers in fellowship. Also very active, very strong. They maintain a weekly gospel meeting in a town close beside a town called Aradis, where a couple who meet in assembly in Lamy live. This couple has opened their home for the preaching of the gospel. And every Tuesday evening, the gospel is preached in their home. There are one or two who show some interest. No one's saved yet in that town, except a couple who belong to the assembly. But it is an open door. We hope that the gospel might continue to be preached there every week and the souls might be saved. Let's pray for that town also, Barares. Also, the assembly in Santa Cruz de Conceição, a very small town of about 5,000 inhabitants only. A little assembly with maybe 15 in fellowship. Again, a young assembly. Believers are very active there also. It's a joy to visit them. And there's an assembly in Pirassununga town where we live. We have about 30 in fellowship. It's our home assembly where we enjoy happy fellowship. There's a good atmosphere in assembly meetings. It's very pleasant to be with them. There have been times in the past when there have been undercurrents of disagreement and other situations, but today we have a very happy situation there. We are happy to see young believers, three young families, active in preaching the gospel. The husbands are actually preaching the gospel. Sisters active in doing children's work. And we ask to pray for the assembly in Pirassununga. We value the importance of children's work. We do it every Saturday evening, every Saturday afternoon. We've seen some interesting results from that through the years. A brother in assembly today has been in assembly for over 40 years. And he was saved 50 years. He first heard the gospel 50 years ago when there began to be a little children's work in Pirassununga. He was saved and remains to this day in assembly about the importance of this little work done with children. There's been much to encourage and much to disappoint also. I ask you to pray for that little region of Brazil, these nine assemblies, and as I mentioned earlier, three other times where there's a weekly gospel meeting. I already mentioned about Araras, and on the northeast of Araras, there are two other towns where there's today no assembly but a weekly gospel meeting. In both cases, someone was saved in one town and baptized and received in the assembly. Then they moved because of work problems. They moved to another part of another town. And they have opened their homes for the preaching of the gospel. One of these places is called Guaxupé. There's a young couple who lives there. The man is a policeman. He and his wife are saved. His mother and father have recently professed to be saved. There are other people who attend the gospel meeting every Saturday night. There's an open door there. We hope to soon see an assembly established there also. And then there's the town of Poços de Caldas, a very, very large city, 170,000 inhabitants. Again, there's a family who was saved in Aguaí. They met with the assembly in Aguaí for many years. And they also moved to Poços de Caldas. There's a meeting every Thursday night in their home. A young couple have been saved in Poços de Caldas. Others come to the meetings with quite good frequency. The family who are saved already, who opened their homes for the preaching of the gospel, they suffered the loss of their son last year. He was just 25 years old, the eldest of two sons, and he died very tragically, a big loss to them. They continue faithfully preaching the gospel. We help as often as we can. We are praying also for salvation in Poços de Caldas and for the establishment of an assembly. So we leave these many matters before you, asking you to continue to pray. We thank for you that you have prayed during the years. We continue to depend on the prayers of the Lord's people for these assemblies. Recognize the importance of each one of them, some of them very small, each one an epistle of Christ, each one a golden lampstand. We ask you to pray for these nine assemblies in that region, for these three times where the gospel is preached every week. I ask you to pray for these isolated assemblies scattered throughout Brazil. Some of them very far away from other groups, and I ask you to pray for them too. And for wisdom and strength to carry on and let your work, with failing health and with many difficulties, but asking you to pray for the continuation of this important work. Thank you for your attention. We'll close the meeting in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of thinking of one aspect of thy work in this vast world in which we live. We think of the person of the gospel, the importance of meeting to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank that we are able today to preach the gospel, that there is a gospel to be preached. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ left the throne of glory and thank the sword to die for our sins. Salvation can be offered freely in his name. That many are being saved by thy grace and being attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ to meet in his name. Thank you for that, for fruits of the gospel here in the north of Ireland and in Brazil. We ask to leave before their Father the needs of these situations which we have presented tonight. Bring that in thy grace and thy mercy, I might encourage thy people and strengthen us all as we seek to serve thee. Preserve us till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to thee every day for his coming, desiring to be with thee, to be as to see his face and to be as he is. May thou preserve us strong and faithful until that day that they shall appear. Thank you for this opportunity of being with thy people. We ask for protection on our way home. Commend ourselves to thy grace in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll sing a hymn, 787. Thank you for your attention and your prayerful interest. 787, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We sing with happiness 787 to close our meeting.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing. Thank you.